All right. Hey, everybody. So just a quick show of hands. There we go. Just a quick show of hands. Who here works in e-commerce? And who here has built a shopping cart or a checkout form at least at one point in their career? Oh, yeah. And everybody else, if you haven't built a shopping cart, then you definitely use one. E-commerce has been around us for a long time. In fact, Amazon actually sold its first book online back in 1995. That would be fun to go ahead and dig up an old shopping cart from around that time. So some could argue this is actually quite a bit more modern. It's from 1999. But I thought we'd go ahead and walk through this together. So we have our line items. We have some personal information, shipping options, and finally an overview with credit card information. Pretty standard. But I think we can all agree the web has changed a lot in 20 years. I want to show you one of my favorite checkout forms on the web. I think it has a really nice clean design, but on top of that, it uses a lot of clever and also really well-known optimizations to get users through the checkout process quickly. Some of these include having nice sectioned off information so users don't feel that cognitive overload of seeing all those text forms. And then it has error messaging with nice clear error messages so you know exactly what's wrong. And then finally, again with the cognitive overload of the text forms, billing and delivery address being the same, so again, users aren't like, oh my gosh, I have all this information to fill out. So when you put them side by side, I'm trying to figure out which computer I'm supposed to click at. When you put them side by side, you will notice some of the differences that I called out. So one, design, we make everything responsive now. But also those awesome optimizations that front-end developers and the UX teams put in to make sure that users are happy going through this process. However, one thing I noticed is that it doesn't matter what year it is, merchants still need the exact same information. And the way that they get that information is exactly the same 20 years later. And actually, this hasn't really gotten that much better. The average checkout flow contains almost 15 text form fields. So that's 15 times that you're having users go through and enter in information again and again, and guarantee that information's probably the same information they've entered in every other checkout form. So I know we're all thinking, well, what about autofill? So autofill is a great way of getting users onto a checkout form. However, we still have that cognitive overload of seeing all those text forms. And not to mention that now we have 15 text form fields. We have to make sure autofill matches. We have to review that information. We have to make sure it's all right and make sure our credit card information is okay. So we spend all this time and money getting users onto sites. Why are we wasting so much of their time during the checkout process? So it turns out users don't like it when we waste their time, which is why we are seeing this incredibly high abandonment rate in checkout forms, in shopping carts. So I've hinted at the problem space. I'm going to go ahead and do an overview of how payments are actually made on the web. So first, a user has to decide how they're going to pay for something online. So they use a payment method. This could be a credit card. It could be some kind of tokenizing mechanism. Could be a cryptocurrency. However they want to do it, and as long as the merchant accepts it, it's totally fine. Then they're going to enter their information into a checkout form that gathers it up and passes it to a payment gateway, which is a secure way of passing their information, to the payment processor, where this is where all the magic happens. This is where the banks talk to each other, the cards are validated, and finally, the merchant gets their money. So talking about the web in the last 20 years, when we think about payment methods, we think about how much that's changed. So physical credit cards are still one of the major players in e-commerce, but there's also tokenized systems and, as I mentioned, cryptocurrencies that are out there. Same with payment gateways and payment processors. When we think about how much optimizations have been made, when you purchase something online and you press buy, how long does it take for your purchase to go through and find out your card's been accepted? Maybe a second, maybe 2 seconds. That's pretty standard on the web nowadays. So we're actually today going to be focusing entirely on the checkout form, which is the true bottleneck of payments on the web. So just going back to the payment processor and payment gateway, when we talk about that, we talk about it in a measure of seconds. When we talk about checkout forms, we talk about it in a measure of minutes. That's how long users are spending on our checkout forms. So it turns out this is a really interesting problem to a lot of different people. which is why the W3C created the Web Payments Working Group, which is a group made up of individuals from a whole bunch of different companies, financial institutions, payment gateways, payment processors, e-commerce platforms, and browsers. So to name a few, Chrome, Firefox, and Microsoft are included in there. I'm also included in there, as Edge. So one of the things to come out of this group is the Payment Request API. The Payment Request API is a comprehensive solution to try to tackle the checkout form problem. So the API is meant to exist with a merchant's already existing solution. So think of it as a nice layer on top of what they have to make the checkout form easier. It is not a replacement for a payment gateway or payment processor or whatever kind of underlying systems they have already. So if a user in Edge goes to a site that supports the Payment Request API, they will get this UI that comes up. So this UI contains all the information that the merchant needs to complete the user's order. This information is being gathered from their Microsoft account. So this is the same account that you would use to buy games on Xbox or purchase apps in the store. So how does it work? So the Payment Request API uses a very simple request and response model. So you can think of it as the merchant requests a certain set of information, and the customer will respond with that information. Mapping it to a real-world example, when you buy some coffee at a cafe, sometimes you'll notice the merchant will list what kind of cards they accept. So you know that you can only pay with that particular information. So in this case, the merchant is requesting a certain set of information. You are responding appropriately. Let's take a look at what this looks like in a demo. So user goes to checkout, and as I mentioned, this UI will pop up instead of the checkout form. It is linked to their Microsoft account, our user John Smith, and he has a few cards on file, again, attached to his Microsoft account, as well as shipping information and whatever kind of delivery the merchant offers. And these are just additional details about his order. So the CVV, of course, is the number on the back of the card. And then finally, he will enter in his PIN, which basically is saying, I approve this purchase. You can pass my credentials to this merchant. And the payment is complete. So when we actually look at the code, similar to the payment request and response model that I described, you can actually think of the code that way. So there's two important objects that come out of the payment request API. The first one is the request object. The second one is the response object. So looking at the payment request constructor, there's three different parts. So you have what kinds of payments the merchant accepts, information about the customer's order, and then finally, extra information the merchant may need depending on what kind of services they're selling. All right, so the first one is supported payment types. So as I mentioned, this is what kind of cards or what kind of payments the merchant can accept. So in this example, it really is kind of like the base example. So these are physical cards in this example here. So supported methods. Think of basic card as physical card. Kind of translate in your mind like that. Supported networks, so Visa, MasterCard, American Express. And then finally, supported types, so credit card. We could also include debit card here as well. I have a little quick modification demo. So let's pretend like this online store accepts Visa and American Express, as I'm highlighting here. And the user goes to the store to check out, and he has two cards on file. He has a Visa and a MasterCard. But as you noticed, the MasterCard is not supported because this online store does not support it. So some time passes, the store decides to start supporting MasterCard. And sometime later, the user returns and his card is accepted. So it's fairly simple. Now, the details section argument is going to be information about the total. So this could be things like taxes, the actual total itself, subtotal, how much shipping is going to cost and affect their order. And then finally, you're going to want to list the shipping options here as well. So in this example, I'm going to change it from two-day shipping to one-day shipping. So first delivery, did it here. And then finally, as we all know, one-day shipping is really expensive. Okay. And when our user goes and checks, in fact, he has one-day shipping available. I want to mention really quickly here, you notice my total updated. The payment request API does not do math at all, so you'll have to make sure you add that functionality in there. Okay, and then finally the options. So as I mentioned, this would be particular information that a merchant may need depending on what kinds of goods they're selling. So the most obvious one is, do you need to have something shipped? Sometimes if you're selling a book online, if you want something picked up, you're selling furniture, you can go ahead and change that there. Then also name, email, just kind of depends on what you need, you go ahead and flag it in the section. Okay, so as you notice in this UI, they're actually asking for credit card information, shipping information, and then shipping options. But if that store decides, let's say, to sell services or ebooks, something like that, we don't need shipping anymore, and we're going to add a section for email. And the user returns. Now the shipping option is gone. Okay, so the second part of the payment request API is the response. So this is going to be all the information you as a merchant would need to process a user's order. So as I mentioned before, this works with whatever kind of processing system you have in place already. So think of this as what comes out of a checkout form. You can just go ahead and use it just like that. So in this example, the user used a basic card or a physical card. This would be the card details. So actually here in plain text would be the user's information, their shipping address, what shipping option they chose, phone number, all the information you need for their order. Okay, so I mentioned browsers earlier. I thought it'd be a good idea to go over browser coverage. So in Edge, we've supported this since spring, so Edge 15. Chrome has actually supported this for about a year now in Android, and it just came out on desktop in Chrome 61. And then finally, Firefox is coming soon, so sometime next year. And other browsers are interested in implementing as well. So what about your users who are on unsupported browsers? As Melanie mentioned earlier, this is a progressive enhancement. So users who are on an unsupported browser are going to have exactly the traditional experience they would expect, a legacy checkout form, and then users who are on an enhanced version are going to get that nice payment request API UI. So an example of that. This is in Firefox. Remember, Firefox is coming soon, but it's not currently supported. So this user gets a, I will admit, not the most beautiful checkout form experience. I made it, so I don't feel bad saying that. So they would get that traditional legacy checkout experience. Now, exactly the same user is going to use Edge, and they will get that nice pay request API UI that exists in Microsoft Edge. And how is able to do that? If you haven't used or heard of feature detection, you really should. It's the best way of giving users the best experience possible that they can get. So in this, I just did a simple check. If payment request API does not exist in the browser, go ahead and serve the user a legacy experience. Now, bringing this back to the old checkout form. So the web has changed a lot in 20 years, but the core of a checkout form really, really hasn't. So, you know, we're really, really excited to support the payment request API. We're really excited to see where it goes. We highly, highly encourage you to go out and try implementing it. And I would actually like to introduce Shopify, who's going to talk about their experience with the payment request API. Let's go ahead and give a round of applause for Shopify.
Good job. Absolutely. All right. Sorry for the wait. Are you detecting it? Sorry? All right. There you go.
Can you hear me?
Okay. So thanks, Molly, and thanks for having me here. I'm here to talk a bit about the state of checkouts and payments at Shopify, and how we want to leverage payment requests in our platform. But before we even start, I want to have a quick word about, well, actually me. So my name is Christian. I'm the payments team lead at Shopify in our Montreal offices. And as I stated previously, I really want to talk about how we leverage right now payment requests at Shopify, and how we want to also leverage any future user agent developments in the payments space in browsers. So to explain that a bit further, let's first gather some context on around why this matters for us. So this is one of our mottos. We want to make commerce better for everyone, right? And for those who do not know what Shopify is essentially just a full-fledged e-commerce platform on which anyone can sell goods. And on that platform, a merchant can set up his products, customize his storefront, accept credit cards, etc. And we have around 500,000 merchants right now. We've done $15 billion of GMV last year alone, and we're in 175 countries right now. And so this brings me kind of to web payments and Shopify. Again, one of our biggest mottos is to make commerce better for everyone, and we really think that a proper payments API in the browser and in any user agents can help us get there. The payment request, we think, is a great first step, and following that, there's actually a new spec being implemented in browsers. It's called the payment handler spec, and to kind of quickly summarize it, it allows any third party to integrate into the payment request sheet you've seen. So for example, imagine just having, rather than having just your credit cards listed in the payment request sheet, imagine having PayPal or Amazon Pay or whatever third party payment method there. So we think that's like the next exciting step to payment request. And as such, we're not only closely watching the progress of all of those specs, we too are part of the web payments group, and we're actually in the picture as well. So here, let me go back to like the Shopify use case, right? This is actually one quote Toby Luke, our CEO. So he said that a few weeks back, and the quote reads as such. So I don't really want to talk usually about how to make the checkout better. It's something I settle on if it's the best thing we can do, but what I want is no checkout. I think Shopify should be the company that kills checkouts altogether forever. And so, again, to give a bit more context, he was actually talking about killing the web checkout we know right now, so the web form Molly kind of presented that we've had since 1995, right? And having it a native way in, again, those browsers, those user agents. And his idea is actually aligned with what the payment request spec is at right now and what browsers are implementing. But we still have a long way to get there. Exhibit A, so this is the problem with checkouts today. As you may have noticed, right at the bottom of the screen, we have these kind of express checkout options, right? And there are just too many third parties that have tried previously to integrate their own lean experience, checkout experience. The problem with that is, like, their goal is admirable, right? But the problem is that is it's just an overload of information for the end user. And sure, without those third parties, figuring out the best purchase experience would be something that would be left up to the integrator or the platform. But still, it's a lot of noise and not the best user experience. And actually, Shopify has similar challenges. We want to accelerate the checkout experience, but we have the same problem where we want to surface the best payment method for the user without overloading them with information. And we also kind of face those challenges as we integrate those third parties one by one. There's no standardized spec. There's no one way of doing it. So every time we add this Amazon Pay or PayPal or new third party, we have to spend time, and it's a slow process to integrate them in our platform, right? So this is where Pim Request truly shines. And what I want to do now is kind of demo it on our platform. So this the following demo is actually only on Cart. We'll soon integrate it on the product page. And it's running on one of our real shops that is behind a closed beta. So let me do just that. All right. So here we have a beef jerky shop. And I'll go ahead and purchase some grass-fed biltong, actually 1 pound of it, because I really love it. I add to cart. And this is just the normal process we always go through, right? You can realize here the sub total is $39.95. And when I click this checkout button, this is where the pen request sheet pops up. And this is all what Molly was explaining right before, where you can see the payment methods, the shipping addresses, and in our case, there's no shipping options available yet, because we want the user to first choose his shipping address. Now, what does the kind of code look like? The reason why we wait for the shipping address to be selected first is the merchant might have configured shipping options based on size, on quantity, on, let's say, price, et cetera. So what we're doing is, let's go through the code first. We have kind of, the first two lines are essentially just serializers that take the response from payment request and ship it back to our API. And then we have a second serializer that does the contrary. So it takes the response from the API and ships it back to payment request. So think of them as like transformers of data. That's about it. So let's go line by line. We've previously attached an event listener on the payment request instance. In this case, shipping address change. So remember, the user selected their shipping address, in this case, the first one, and this triggered. So what we're doing is taking the shipping address that we got back from the payment sheet and transforming it into a payload where our API can understand it. Then we had previously created a resource. We updated that resource with the payload. And when that finishes, we get back a response of that resource, serialize it back to something payment request can understand, and then update the payment sheet. And again, like why we do all of this is the merchant might have had third-party carriers, for example. So we have to, through the API, go ship those third-party carriers, shipping options, calculate them, and get them back. So what it looks like now is once the user selected the shipping address, he comes back and there you go. He has the option of having a shipping method. In this case, free US shipping. So he selects that. He previously had entered his email address, phone address. You can see the shipping and tax lines also, but they're at $0. And when he clicks pay, again, enters his CVV. There's another process going on here. So, and this is where we get the payment response back. Again, going through the code real quick. As Molly mentioned, we previously called the show method on the payment request instance. Once that promise resolves, we get back the payment response. Again, we go through the same process where we transform it to something our API can understand it. We initiate a payment. So in this case, when we initiate a payment on our platform, all it means is we go through the payment processing kind of flow. But it does not mean that by the end of this promise, we finished a payment. So in this case, when this resolves, we get back a processing URL. Once we have this, we can actually close the sheet by calling the complete method on the payment response with a parameter just success. This closes the sheet, and when that promise finally resolves, we can finally redirect to our own processing URL, and then the process from there is the usual process where you end up on the order status page on our platform at least. So what does that look like? We just entered the CVV, click next, and then you see the sheet will disappear. Our order status page, and you're on, order status page right here. With all of the line items correct, with all of the order summary correct, and even the payment method is the correct one where the user entered it. So this is what is happening right now behind a closed beta on Shopify. Now, this is all good and well, but we still have some problems like, for example, discount codes and even custom fields. So as you may have noticed, there's no way of specifying those custom fields in payment requests. So we have to somehow get that information upstream from the user before he even enters that flow. Now, we've been in discussions with the W3C, kind of going back and forth on if we should implement discount codes, but it's still an ongoing discussion. But even beyond that, let's say you want to accept any custom fields. For example, on Shopify, a popular example is having a note on your order. Let's say you want to have now payment requests on your product page. How do you accept having a note or whatever custom fields without overloading your product page? So this is one of maybe the caveats of payment requests or an ongoing discussion. The thing is, we'll kind of explore it on our own, but once that discovery and once we'll have rolled that out to all of the merchants, we want to go back to the consortium and kind of discuss that and see what the best options are, or even if we can kind of change the payment request spec. No promises, though. So to summarize, we're excited to be killing the web checkout. And we think, again, payment request is a... we're excited to share the purchase experience through the browser. We're excited, and we think that payment request is a first great step towards this. But we still think it has caveats. Again, the payment request browser support is growing. Microsoft Edge, again, Chrome, Firefox, soon to be implementing this. And we're really excited for the future of payments on the web. Thank you. And I'll now hand it off to Molly, and she can talk a bit about the resources around payment request.
Uh-oh, I think we lost the screen. Is it? Do you mind if we switch back?
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there we go, okay. So I just wanted to include some resources, so if people are interested in getting started, learning more about it, you can find them here. So we have two blogs we wrote. Google has a great developer guide as well, and then demos. Samsung Internet also supports it, so you can see their demo on there as well. All right, thank you guys. Awesome.